Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be here to bring God's Word to you today, and I ask if you would keep me in your thoughts and prayers as I'm trying to deliver the Word. Now let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the Gospel today, Jesus tells us two parables that have puzzled many people through the years. If you think about it, that's exactly what a parable is supposed to do. They're supposed to make you think, make you ponder and wonder exactly what the meaning could be from them. I think that is why Jesus tells so many stories, because we can connect with them, but it challenges us to think on our own. The two parables today are almost fables, simple visions with a moral at the end, like the ant and the grasshopper. Do you remember how the ant and grasshopper goes? One bright day in late autumn, a family of ants was working about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain they had stored up during the summer, when a starving grasshopper came along with his fiddle under his arm, and he came up to them and humbly begged for a bite to eat. "What?" cried the ants in surprise. "Haven't you stored anything away for the winter? What in the world have you been doing all summer?" "I didn't have time to store up food," whined the grasshopper. "I was so busy making music that before I knew it, the summer had passed me by." The ants shrugged their shoulders in disgust. "Making music, were you?" they cried. "Very well, then dance." And they turned their backs on the grasshopper and went on with their work. When the winter came, the grasshopper had no food and found itself dying of hunger. While he saw the ants every day eating the corn and grain that they had collected in the summer. Then the grasshopper knew it is best to be prepared for the days of need. Or how about the fable of the bald man that was, and the bald man and the fly? Do you remember how that one goes? A fly bit a bald man who was trying to destroy it, and he gave himself a heavy slap on the head. Escaping, the fly said mockingly, "You have wished to revenge, even with death, the prick of a tiny insect. See what you have done to yourself to add insult to injury." The bald man replied, "I can easily make peace with myself because I know that no intention was to harm me. But you, you ill-favored and worthless insect who delights in sucking human blood, I wish that I could have killed you, even if I had caused myself great pain. It's better to know the harm you can cause yourself before you act hastily." So in today's gospel, Jesus asks, do you build a tower without first figuring the cost? It can be embarrassing if you don't. Then Jesus asked, do you go to war with figuring out if you have enough soldiers to win the battle? That can be deadly if you don't. Neither of these parables are long, but they are catchy. They make us think. We all can learn something from these parables, but are these only simple lessons teaching us to make sure we prepare? What is Jesus really trying to say? We have sayings like, well begun is half done, and such, but is Jesus really trying to say just that, to be prepared? Would there be something wrong if that was what Jesus was doing? I believe that these parables are really teaching us something about God. They are not simple stories with simple morals. They are more than just simple stories. These are stories that stand for us as a source of encouragement in our lives. Jesus asked if we would build a tower without first counting the cost and be able to finish it. I think he's asking this question. Jesus is telling us that God has not started the process of our salvation, and God has not begun rebuilding our relationship with him without first counting the cost. And no matter how much the cost, God is willing to pay it. Amazingly, this is what Jesus is teaching us and reminding us. Jesus, who is the one who is going to pay that price with his life. Jesus then asked if we would go into battle with an enemy without first counting the forces and discovering if we had enough soldiers to win. Here Jesus is teaching us that God has looked at this daily battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful selves, and he knows that he has enough to win, and he is counting on you and on me to help. God is counting on us helping as sin and death are defeated with grace and love, with care, and with hope. Jesus has been calling out to the crowds who are around him, following his movements, and calling and challenging them to truly follow him in his ministry. He is trying to wake up the ones who think that following Jesus is like getting caught up in a fad. Following Jesus isn't like binge-watching Stranger Things on Netflix just because everyone else is doing it. It isn't like wearing bell-bottoms or beehive hairdos or raccoon coats. Following Jesus isn't something we do for a while and then move on to something else. Following Jesus means that God's love and God's will became our chief aim. Using statements not meant to be taken literally, Jesus talks again about hating family, carrying crosses, and abandoning possessions, because it may come to that. None of that is a required condition. It is not that we must be angry or hostile to our family or throw away all that we have, but if there is a conflict in life, our discipleship should take precedent. If following Jesus causes a rift with your parents, allow the rift. Love your parents and trust that God's love will work things out in the end. If following Jesus means that you must give up something, give it up for the gospel. Give it up. Service toward others always carries a completely different type of compensation. Jesus is telling us, with God by our side, we will have enough to make it through the difficulties of time. Jesus doesn't promise that there will be no difficulties in life, but promises instead that with God by our side, we can be sufficient. That's why he tells these stories. God has thought this through. God knows that he is willing to pay the cost, and with our assistance that we will defeat sin and the evils that it causes. It only takes a brief look at the paper or watching the news for less than a minute to know that we have a long way to go. Jesus is teaching us that God knows and God cares and God is with us. God knows there is a long way to go, and God is willing to walk it together with us. God knows it won't be easy, but is willing to provide guidance, strength, patience, and peace so that we will make it through the day. God knows the enemy we fight, and that enemy is us. Us and the world and the devil. And God knows that together we are sufficient. It may take time and effort, but we are sufficient. Not ourselves, not just us, but with God by our side. With the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, with the love of Christ giving strength and forgiveness, we are sufficient. All of us, all together with God. That is the beauty and power of these parables. God knows, and God is ready to move ahead with our salvation. Jesus continues his trip to Jerusalem and his suffering and death, his resurrection to new life, so that all this God has intended for us is now ours, freely and fully. Moses tells the Israelites to choose life. Jesus is calling us to choose life with Christ. If we are going to go with Christ into the world, we need to be ready for difficulty and joy. We need to be ready to help others and discover what our help in others means to God. We need to be ready to live as God has given us gifts to live. The promise is that God will be with us and through all these things in our lives. No matter how large or no matter how small these things may seem to us, we must know that in the end, God will win. Amen.